I'd not been back 24 hours before I ran across Rose Waterford in Jermyn Street. "You look very gay and sprightly," I said. "What's the matter with you?" She smiled, and her eyes shone with a malice I knew already. It meant that she'd heard some scandal about one of her friends, and the instinct of the literary woman was all alert. "You did meet Charles Strickland, didn't you?" Not only her face, but her whole body gave a sense of alacrity. I nodded. I wondered if the poor devil had been hammered on the stock exchange or run over by an omnibus. "Isn't it dreadful? He's run away from his wife." Miss Waterford certainly felt that she could not do her subject justice on the curb of Jermyn Street, and so, like an artist, flung the bare fact at me and declared that she knew no details. I could not do her the injustice of supposing that so trifling a circumstance would have prevented her from giving them, but she was obstinate. "I tell you, I know nothing," she said in reply to my agitated questions, and then, with an airy shrug of the shoulders, "I believe that a young person in a city tea shop has left her situation." She flashed a smile at me, and protesting an engagement with her dentist, jauntily walked on. I was more interested than distressed. In those days my experience of life at first hand was small, and it excited me to come upon an incident among people I knew of the same sort as I had read in books. I confess that time has now accustomed me to incidents of this character among my acquaintance. But I was also a little shocked. Strickland was certainly 40, and I thought it disgusting that a man of his age should concern himself with affairs of the heart. With the superciliousness of extreme youth, I put 35 as the utmost limit at which a man might fall in love without making a fool of himself. And this news was slightly disconcerting to me personally, because I'd written from the country to Mrs. Strickland announcing my return, and had added that unless I heard from her to the contrary, I would come on a certain day to drink a dish of tea with her. This was the very day, and I had received no word from Mrs. Strickland. Did she want to see me, or did she not? It was likely enough that in the agitation of the moment my note had escaped her memory. Perhaps I should be wiser not to go. On the other hand, she might wish to keep the affair quiet, and it might be highly indiscreet on my part to give any sign that this strange news had reached me. I was torn between the fear of hurting a nice woman's feelings and the fear of being in the way. I felt she must be suffering, and I did not want to see a pain which I could not help. But in my heart was a desire that I felt a little ashamed of, to see how she was taking it. I did not know what to do.